This is Fabian Hiscock of Three Rivers Museum. I'm talking to Iris Bangs at her home in Rickmansworth on the 17th of August 2026 as part of the Three Rivers Voices project. Iris, would you like to introduce yourself to the recorder?
So I've lived in Rickmansworth for approximately 44 years. We moved here when we started a young family. It was a very community orientated and green environment in which to live.
Thank you. Now, in that time, you've seen quite a lot of changes around here. How have you seen the area develop and change and bring you into what you're now doing that we'll talk about later with the food bank?
The area has grown in terms of residential housing, and types of housing has changed. And alongside that, people's ability and income and workplaces has changed. One big change I think I've noticed with schools is the amount of parents are no longer available to help with reading, etc. in school because both parents are working, as opposed to when I was a young mum, all the parents had one parent not working and looking after children. So there's a big difference in childcare.
How have you found developments like the traffic and other modern manifestations? What effect do you think that sort of thing has had?
There's always traffic congestions, and I'm a keen cyclist. Mm. So that has a huge impact on our ability to get around, and all my family cycle. And we will always cycle if possible, as opposed to a car for short journeys, even if it means carrying with bags, etc. So there's a huge congestion of traffic, and buses, I would suggest, are less than what they were. And bus fares are expensive. So that combination factor makes it more difficult for people to get about.
And one of the changes has been the growing need for organisations like the food bank, which is what you're now doing. How did you come to get involved in that sort of work?
There was three of us that were all Christians looking to serving our community from different backgrounds. And we used to do youth work based at the community centre and envisaged having a cafe to start with. But I came across parents who were unable to provide during the school holidays for their families. And that's what triggered the food bank to come first. Just meeting these mums that were begging and borrowing from friends and family to get through the 6 weeks where there was no facility for free school dinners. And if they were childminders, they didn't have work. So there was no paid extra income coming in. So that started the food bank.
When was that, Iris?
We're now 14 years this October.
But before that, were people dealing with the need better in the way you describe, or was there not the need?
I don't think there was such a need. And I think people were more willing to share because they could share, so they would help each other out. I think as neighbourhoods get bigger, you lose that neighbourly connection is one aspect. And people also then sink back into themselves that they protect and pretend to everybody else that everything is fine and won't own up to when they actually need help. And that's a big change in society, I think.
Had you been heavily involved in the community before you got onto the food bank concept?
I did help with running a youth group from my own church, but we actually did it at a different centre. We did it in a non-church centre so that it drew lots of children in.
So you saw, from the point of view of a Christian particularly, you saw the developing need for the food bank. How did you and your friends respond to that? What did you do?
The first thing we did was we used to meet every Saturday morning and just pray, what should we do? Because we didn't know what to do. And then we looked around. Once we decided that we'd have a cafe or a food bank, we still hadn't decided which. We needed somewhere to make a base. And nobody has storage. Nobody would give us any space. And I spoke to the Methodist Church, who is a very small congregation, who felt they couldn't engage with us. And I asked if they were so small, would they have space for us? So that's why we located to where we are. And that's how we actually started.
Which is your own church group?
I'm Millen Baptist Church.
So you'd identified space, you identified the need. How did you then go about actually setting it up?
Well, when I searched around and researched it, and I was due to take retirement, so I knew I could develop the time to it, I proposed that we join the Trussell Trust because it's a national organisation that sets up food banks, and it would be able to give us the way how of how to go about doing it. So we invited them to an open meeting at the community centre, inviting anybody from the community that may be interested in either supporting or being involved with it. And we purposely chose a non-church environment. The Trussell Trust stipulates that you can only belong to them if you have the support of two local churches, and that as an organisation yourself, you are a Christian-based organisation. So we decided that we would join them, not appreciating the cost. So there are three of us as supposed trustees setting up a trust with nothing, and the fees for the first year is about £1,500. So I still felt that this is what we should do, and if that's what we should do, God will provide the means for it. And we went to my church, Millen Baptist Church, and they agreed to support us. And I went to the parish council of St Peter's Church, and they agreed to support us. So we signed all the documents to say we would be part of the Trussell Trust. And the first month, we decided to pay monthly, not having money behind us, so that we could then raise some money as needed. And my church paid the first month. And by the second month, somebody we did not know previously, from his charity arm of his work, they paid the rest of the year's subscription to the Trussell Trust for us. And that was in the November of 2012. And by Christmas that year, we had £5,000 in the bank and we didn't fundraise. And we felt quite strongly that that was God providing for us, going before us, and saying, you've taken this leap, I am with you.
So they were now, you had this almost miraculous revenue behind you, which allowed you to be properly part of the Trussell Trust. What did you then have to do to get your food bank here going?
So Trussell Trust say that it will take 6 months from signing their documents to being up and running. And I suggested that we're a practical group, and that actually we will feed people while we learn, and we will get it wrong, but we're still providing for those people. And that was the premise, really, that we're just a very practical based community orientation for the trust. So we obviously had to pay rent from where we are at the Methodist Church, and we also had to put in some storage units and the facilities of weighing scales, etc. We also had to register with the Three Rivers Council because there's food being provided. Even though it's non-perishable, you should still register so that we are registered with them from a food safety and hygiene purpose. So that's what we did in the first year or so.
How long did it take to find people coming to you for help?
Within the first few weeks.
How did you make yourself known to them?
Word and mouth, I would suggest. Even though we went to lots of people asking would they like to be a referrer, and all the churches were keen to be referrers, but most people, if they are in trouble, even if they're a churchgoer, don't always like their congregation to know that they're in trouble. And if you're not a churchgoer, that's not your first place of call. And the then priest down at Our Ladies, who had helped a lot of people, unbeknown to many people, out of his own pocket many times, said to me, reach out and keep reaching. And that's what we did.
And people responded.
Yes.
Now, you were building at that time on a foundation provided by the Trussell Trust, a structure provided by them. Have you found that that structure has held good for you, or have you had to modify it at all?
Modify it in lots of ways. I never quite know the correct word to use with the Trussell Trust because it's a partnership as opposed to a franchise. And with that comes rules and regulations. So sometimes we have to do things that necessarily I might not agree with, but that's part and parcel of an agreement. And we have governance checks by the Trussell Trust, because if we're using their name, they want to have a certain standard, and that's understandable. It has helped, particularly in COVID times, when before it's a referral process, and most people would go and see a referrer and be given a voucher, which was a red piece of paper with a code on it. And that's fine when you're seeing people face to face. But there are many times when they weren't seeing them face to face, and then COVID came along and they didn't see them. So then an electronic referral system was developed, and that was done by the Trussell Trust. And 95% of our referrals now are electronic, I would suggest. We do get the odd red voucher, but it's not very much. And it was very hard for people coming in with this red voucher. They would fold it up so small in their hand that they wouldn't disclose it if there was somebody there that knew them.
They wouldn't come in waving it around, no, for sure.
No, definitely not. And they would look to see who was in the building. So when we first started, we were just a food bank at the Methodist Church. The pews were out. We always had a kettle and biscuits and tea and coffee, and always offered a listening ear. And that is really important for us, that there is an empathetic ear, not a judgmental ear. We're not there to judge. We can suggest maybe you could try this or that, but it's not for us to tell people what to do. And people, if they were coming into the building, it was known what they were coming in for. So that was hard. Now we have a cafe as well. It's just as hard, because if there's somebody sat in the cafe and they don't want them to know, so they might just say, can I have a word? And we'll go into the corridor and I will do it in a different room so that people don't know. You have to, I always say at induction for our volunteers, you have to meet the client where they are. They can't come to you. You must go to them. And that's really important.
I guess that even the fact that a client has appeared on the premises is a leap for many of them.
It is indeed. And they don't have to tell us their story, but many of them want to, just so they're justifying to themselves rather than justifying to us. They've already got their referral. They don't have to justify to us at all. Usually, once they've been once or twice, they, and if they need to, feel more comfortable coming back.
Who are your referrers?
Our main referrer is Citizens Advice. As I say, all churches can refer, but many, very few do. It might be an outreach worker that does. All schools can refer. Many don't. There are two particular schools that refer most, and one of them is a school with the most need of deprivation indices and free school dinners. The council at first refused to be a referrer because the councillors felt that we were going to be encouraging dependency, and we had to prove to them that we weren't.
How on earth do you prove that?
That you can say statistically this amount of people have come and how many times have they come back. So you can prove it. So everything's on a database, so you can prove. Statistics, you can make what you want out of to a degree. The other refer, social services may refer, health providers, all of the GPs in Rickmansworth and Chorley would refuse to be referrers, and all the GPs in Croxley Green are referrers. So you work with whoever and whatever. People may phone up, I may have a debt agency. A lot of debt agencies are on the internet these days and people don't have face-to-face meetings. So they may explain that they're working with a client and could we please help support them while things are resolved.
I hadn't appreciated that at all. So the debt agencies themselves see you as an extension of their work.
Yes, because the person has nothing.
So you deliberated between food bank and a cafe. You've now got the food, you set up the food bank at once. You're now running a small cafe. Was that actually just a realisation of your original concept, or had that come in separately later?
We always wanted to try and reduce social isolation was the main driving force behind the cafe. And we felt that if we're providing food for a food bank clients, to invite them for lunch would be an extra gesture. We have less families that come for actual lunch and more that just come because of social isolation. And so it's different demographics that have changed over the years. And the cafe has become a hub for other services to come into. We've always worked closely with Citizens Advice, and we pay for an outreach service. The Community Trust funds that 50%, because Hertfordshire County Council many years ago withdrew their funding for outreach services for Citizens Advice. And I didn't want to reduce our hours, so we said we were all of Citizens Advice. So I said I want them every week, because that's really important. And it can be not food bank related, it can be anything, but it's an outreach for people that don't necessarily get down to Rickmansworth, which may not seem far. You have poor mobility and a bus fare. It actually is the block that's not needed, so we take the block away and just let them have face to face. So that's there every single week. And we have council services, and we have the Healthy Hub, and we have Mind Outreach, and we can, I liaise with Jeff from Millen Baptist Church, and he will do one-to-one CAP courses for people that budgeting and walk alongside them if that's all they require. Often these people require more, so they will have budgeting from Citizens Advice because there are other complex issues.
Of course, that's such an important aspect of the work of the church.
Yeah.
And interesting to see the way in which your operation, your work, grew out of that original core. Now, you have recruited the referrers. You still need the goods that you're going to distribute.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they come from?
So most is donated. Before Trussell got as big as what they are now, we negotiated with Waitrose direct that we would have collections from them, whereas now that's organised through the Trussell Trust. So there is a box in Waitrose and there is a box in Tesco's. Tesco's nationally is very generous to all Trussell Trust food banks, in as much as that we have to weigh in every kilo that's donated, wherever it comes from, and I have to list it down. They will give back in monetary terms now, I think it's £1.45 per kilo of money for every donation. So in a year, that will probably be £1,500.
So their customers donate by putting stuff in the box.
Mm.
They then match that donation,
yes,
in cash,
yes,
which goes into your
general fund.
Your general fund.
Yeah.
Did you find it difficult when you set off, although under the Trussell Trust umbrella, did you find it difficult to recruit the supermarkets?
It wasn't too difficult. You could say it's more difficult now managing it sometimes, because the staff changes, particularly more in Tesco's, and therefore they don't understand what their remit is. I have to often explain to them what their remit is, let alone what my own remit is. We are obliged every year to do 3-day manned collection, as it's called, before Christmas, end of November, beginning of December, and that is non-negotiable. If I say no, then they can take away our permanent food box and not let us back. We can't afford to do that.
Absolutely not. Why do they have that stipulation?
It's an agreement between nationally, nothing to do with us, but nationally between Tesco's and Trussell. So it used to be twice a year, and thankfully now it's once a year.
I guess from their point of view, it allows them to demonstrate their commitment to the Trussell Trust, but it's interesting to hear it expressed like that.
But it's sales. So sales is money to Tesco's. Sales is donations to us. So it is a win-win in many ways. Mm. And the advantage of having a manned collection is, one, you can raise the profile of the food bank,
yeah,
and the other aspects that we do as well. But it also allows people to ask questions about it. The most common question is, where does the food go? And when you say it stays within Three Rivers, most people are really surprised and shocked.
Where do they think it goes?
They think it goes abroad, or it goes to London, or it goes wherever. They never think it's actually our own community.
That's an interesting thought. So actually, the community has a responsibility to understand how that works.
That's the difference between the Trussell Trust and Fair Share. So we looked at both models. Trussell Trust encourages the community to support the community wherever you are. Fair Share, if it was a Fair Share box, they would come and collect the food. They would take it to their central base and then give you back what they think you need. So one, there's a lot of mileage there, but then you're not supporting your own people. So I prefer the trussle model, I have to say.
That's an interesting difference, which I hadn't appreciated. So trussle continue to actively support you. You continue to pay them your membership fee, but they provide that oversight, degree of standard setting, I guess.
Oh, very much so.
Now, the other important people in this, of course, are your own volunteers. You have been doing this yourself for 15 years. You do a lot of it on your own, but you have a cadre of people.
I insure for 70 volunteers. You know, we have running costs. We have lots of running costs, like the insurance. We have to have public liability, health and safety, and all of that. We have to have all the policies for all of that as well. But I do insure for 70 volunteers.
How many have you got at the moment?
I wouldn't like to guess, but probably that sort of number. I've got some volunteers that have been with us since day one. People generally stay with us. We're very, very fortunate. They leave because of circumstances or they move. And that is the general reason. We don't have people just leaving for the sake of leaving. There has been a change of circumstances.
Are any of your volunteers people who have been or still are clients?
We've had associated family members. Trussell Trust are very keen to get you to have ex-clients help. I have to say I have a hesitancy over it because it's quite difficult for them to realise why you've got so much stock when you don't give out absolutely everything. But we've got to think, well, tomorrow maybe not so much will come in, and therefore we have got to manage it. And what we give today has got to be equal to what we give tomorrow. And I don't think they have the ability, some of the clients, to see that. But we have had, as I say, I had a daughter recently. We won't take under 16-year-olds for insurance purposes. And she was doing a college course. And due to her family background, her mother was very anxious of where she would go. And she grew. She grew in confidence in the few months that we had her with us. She grew in her ability to understand people's relationships and difficulties, and that hers wasn't as peculiar as what she thought it was. And her mum just sent us a really lovely letter thanking us for her first work placement. It couldn't have been better for her daughter in a very difficult place.
What an interesting extension of what you might down as a list of your services. That one really actually quite important, although not very frequent.
We had one of my volunteers ask me to take her son on because he'd fallen out of college and he was not doing anything. When he first came, he wouldn't say boo to a goose. By the time he left, he was chatting to the donors. He went off and he got an apprenticeship and he's now a fully qualified gardener. His confidence grew because I made sure who he was working with and mentored by.
So you were actively managing his progress.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, he made progress.
Yes. We have a garden that is run by Hillary for me, and we used to have another gentleman help. And we've had people come through there that I've done references for that have gone on to being gardeners, that one gentleman had been pulled out of the canal, wouldn't come into the building, would sit on the wall, and you could go out and talk to him and give him a cup of tea. By the time he left, he'd come in for his lunch, he'd do the garden, and as I say, he then contacted me and asked for a reference. So if people are willing to do that, we are willing to help. We'll go that extra mile. We can. We're not restricted.
Now, generally speaking, I guess the community is supportive of what you do. Do you actually find, though, any resistance, any counter to what you're trying to do?
Oh, we do get some unpleasant comments, yes, but you will do in any walk of life.
Who were they aimed at, though, those comments?
They're aimed at the clients. They're not aimed at the volunteers, they're aimed at the clients, and then they tell us that we're doing a waste of time and we're encouraging bad behaviour, bad this, that and the other. But I always say the lack of food is the tip of an iceberg. If you don't address what's going on underneath, you'll never address the lack of food. So it's really important that we sit down and we unpick with them what it is they need to help themselves move on.
Now the CAB do some of that.
That's right. Well, that's why we refer to CAB an awful lot.
Do you find yourself, have you found yourself in the last 15 years doing that work yourself?
Depending what the need is, yes.
And of course you're supported by certainly the major churches in the area.
Yes.
Do you find that you call on their professional spiritual support?
Yes. It's the first activity that's brought all the churches of Rickmansworth, Croxley and Chorleywood together, which is one thing that we wanted. We really wanted churches to work together more, and this has brought them together more. I think it's helped that we're located on a premises that isn't a thriving church, so it's not seen as their activity, and everybody then supports us. We will have support financially from them from time to time. We'll have harvests from them. We may have volunteers that come via them. They receive our prayer diary. We do a monthly prayer diary, so that we need to have this grounded in prayer.
Yes, but what a great result that actually you bring together the Christian denominations in that way. Now, Trussell Trust expects you, requires you, to be based in the Christian tradition. Do other faith groups come to you at all? Or are they...
Well, I've got Jewish volunteers. I've got a Hindu volunteer. We don't not have people. They would not be able to be a trustee. We have set it that this is our service to the Lord, and therefore you need to have that Christian belief to be able to undertake that. But apart from that, there is no barring from any race, religion or culture.
So anybody can be referred,
yeah.
And anybody is provided for.
Yes.
What is the duration of the stock that you hold?
Different items. I have pasta dated to 2032. And tuna fish 2032, whereas vegetables and things like tinned vegetables are much shorter dated. So things go up and down, but pasta we always have a mountain of, always have a mountain of. But, you know, in our long-term development plan, and we have got development plans, that I would like to see a small food bank and a large cooperative type supermarket. So that, and you, there are models, and I have looked at various ones, but until our premises are sorted, which hopefully will be this year, we can't do anything. But we can't use what's being given to us in the food box at Tesco and sell it on, because it's being donated as opposed to us purchasing it. But the idea behind a cooperative type supermarket is you set the criteria of who you are allowed to use it, and that's up to the organisation, and then you decide how much they can spend. So they can spend £5, £10 a week, whatever the criteria is, but they will get goods of twice that value because you've bought it in bulk, you've bought it cheap or whatever. So that is a model that I think in the long term I would like to see replace the food bank, to give people more autonomy, a bit of more self-respect, and also that they've actually got to manage.
Yes, another life skill which is not necessarily available to everybody.
No.
Yes, I can see the local shops pushing back against some of that. So I guess that you will have a bit of a hearts and minds program there. But what would happen, how long could you last if your donation suddenly stopped?
We're very fortunate in as much as that we are supported by so many. We have the churches donate to us, lots of churches each week. But we also have financial donations that people donate to us. So we've got planning permission in at the moment for replacing all of our sheds into a modular build. And we can fund that because people over the years have donated to us. And at first we kept thinking, oh, we felt uncomfortable. What have we got this money for? But actually we knew there would be a plan for it. We couldn't see it, but it was God's plan for it. We do Christmas hampers. That costs us money. We do school uniforms. This year we've scaled that back. Last year it cost us nearly £11,000.
Now that's an aspect of the food bank that is not much appreciated.
But you see, the registered charity is not Rickmansworth Food Bank. The registered charity is Mill End Community Trust. So the Mill End Community Trust, one activity is the food bank, one activity is the cafe, one activity is helping provide. So I've bought lots of fridge, freezers, cookers, goodness knows what of white goods. I have managed the household support fund on behalf of the council. I do the school uniforms, and the school uniforms, we write to the schools and say, if there's a family that's struggling to provide the uniform, we will work with you. And we restricted it last year to 8 pupils per school. And we work with the suppliers. I never meet the parents or the children. So the school will send in their list and what uniform it is. And then I contact the suppliers. It's £75 allowed. We've allowed for primary school children and £150 for a secondary school or secondary school transfer.
Do the children or the parents ever know where the uniform has come from?
They know the name, they don't know anything else. I mean, some suppliers I have to buy vouchers for, other suppliers I have to create codes for, other suppliers they have to create codes for. So it's a lot of complexity when you're dealing with possibly last year 12 suppliers, I would think. And so I got somebody to help me do that last year.
I'm not surprised.
Because I just felt that was an extra job that somebody could just take off. But when it comes to paying, of course I've got to pay it because you've got to have the authority to pay.
Now, the food bank is set up here because it's where you and your original friends 15 years ago lived. What area do you cover?
We cover all of Three Rivers except South Oxy. And South Oxy we don't cover because Watford Food Bank always wanted to cover it. It wasn't that we were against South Oxy, which Citizens Advice took a long time to kind of get their heads around, because they work across into South Oxy and felt that the clients there weren't getting the same level of service that the rest of Three Rivers was getting. And I can't do anything about that.
No.
It's Watford Food Bank, and particularly when it comes to Christmas hampers. They can nominate people for a Christmas hamper, and a hamper consists of a stock of food from the food bank, but it also consists of fresh fruit and vegetables, the meat, and all the fruits as well for Christmas. So that's a purchase that we make. We purchase fresh fruit and veg every single week. So we've got distribution points, 2 in Abbots Langley, 1 in Maple Cross, 1 in Croxley, and we're open twice in Mill End. We used to be down in the Rickmansworth Town Centre in the old CAB offices. They relocated and it got very difficult and cumbersome, parking and stock and everything. So the volunteers said, can we stay here? And I said, yes.
Yes, I think the CAB desk in Three Rivers House is not suitable for that sort of thing at all.
No, we did do it for a while, but it's also that the clients had to go past the information desk of the council, and if you're feeling vulnerable, that's quite a thing to have to do, actually.
Even going in through the council building door to the CAB desk, I always think is a bit of a challenge.
Yeah. So we stayed, after COVID, we stayed up at our main base, and in COVID times, we saw all of the people that were all of a sudden loss of job, benefits they would apply for, but there were so many, hundreds of thousands of people applying, so that took a long time. So we saw a lot of people that wouldn't normally have come to the food bank, and we never closed throughout COVID. We kept the clients on the outside, and I kept a core of volunteers on the inside, so we weren't mixing too much either. And also we saw people that couldn't access a face of anybody with mental health. They would come and see us, even if they didn't need food, they just had to see somebody.
Yeah, that's a very understandable human need, isn't it? Now, you say you've got the distribution centres around the area. How do you service them? How does it physically work?
So they hold a stock of non-perishable food and toiletries. And, for instance, on Friday, one of my volunteers topped up Abbots Langley because they'd used up their stock. So they will let us know when their stock's going down and it'll get topped up. Croxley, they come across every Tuesday and therefore it'll get topped up if needed. If not needed, that's fine. And Maple Cross is very hit and miss because that's moved locations a few times and it's now closed always every school holiday from where it's located at. So, which is a bit of a shame. But to be honest, if you've got transport and you're in Maple Cross, you're better off coming to us because you'll get the fresh fruit and vegetables. And particularly with the prices of today, they're very expensive.
So you collect your donations back into Mill End,
mm-hmm.
and then distribute them out again in the way you...
There's
you
a set collect. List of what a single box will consist of, a box for 2 people, a box for 3 to 4 people, and a box for 5 to 6 people. So I've got a family coming tomorrow of 10. So that's a large... And it's a situation that's arisen... And they will be coming weekly during the holidays through no fault of their own. but that's a large collection, you can imagine.
That also raises, though, the thought in my mind, people are in need and they come to you, sometimes it'll be promptly, quite often I guess, with greater reservation and taking longer to do it. They come to you and you help. You arrange for spiritual support, practical advice, and food by donation. Your clients will respond well to that, I anticipate. How do you, to coin the phrase, how do you wean them off it, or do you find you don't have to?
Generally, we don't have to. And if they have come from what I would call a soft referrer that doesn't ask many questions, I will say, well, actually, in future now, you've had 3 vouchers from us. Trust or Trust say 3 vouchers in 6 months. No food bank nationally now holds to that. And it's just a guidance to stop people repetitively using the food bank. But I will say, well, you have to attend Citizens Advice. We will only accept a voucher from them. So you know that all of their circumstances will be explored, as much as they will share, but that is their prerogative. So if they want ongoing help, and we have supported a particular family, I can always remember, for over a year. We knew eventually they would be all right. And he would come 5 minutes before we closed the door because he didn't want anyone to see him coming.
But generally, and there is an example, families that you help are all right in the end. And it works.
Yes. And they give back.
How?
The families give back. So this particular family, he came back 1 year and he said, Iris, do you still do Christmas hampers? And I said, yes, thinking, oh, he's going to ask for one. And he said, put this in it. And he gave me a wad of notes. He said, I know how much it meant to us. And so we will get that from time to time. People will come back and say, oh, could you use this? Or I wondered if. And so people, it does come back round. People that have struggled and that have been helped, they want to try and help someone else that was in that situation a lot of the time. Not everybody, but a lot of people do.
Which is further validation of the value of the work you do, actually.
I don't know. I hadn't looked at it like that. But you know, you have to, I mean, part of our charity, you have to have aims and objectives for being a registered charity. And we've changed our charity status. We're now a CIO. But you have to have objectives. And our objective was to build respect, give people back dignity, be compassionate. And that is actually on the website. You know, and that is important. It's very well just giving somebody food and saying, off you go. But actually meeting them where they are in whatever journey they're on.
So the outward sign is distribution of food. The consequence is much more of that social interpersonal support to their circumstances.
Very much so.
You mentioned that you started this as you retired. How did your previous profession, if you like, give you the insight into this?
I often think I was prepared in some ways, even though I didn't know it at the time. I was a nurse practitioner before I retired. And so I'm happy to meet with any sort of person. And if they need a hug, and if they're not the cleanest of people, I will still give them a hug because that's what they need. Some people find that hard. I'm very fortunate. I don't have that problem. And often I'm asked for medical advice from the cafe clients. What do you think I should do about X, Y, and Z? So it's actually prepared me in lots of ways that I didn't even know I was being prepared for. If that sounds sensible.
It absolutely does. It brings things in together into, well, the start of your food bank, and now here 15 years later to the point at which you now are. Let's look very quickly ahead into your future. You say you're about to provide yourself with new storage units. Will that be at the Methodist Church?
We're negotiating a lease, a 10-year lease with the Methodist Church. So it's where our current porta cabins are and sheds are, so they will all be demolished, and so it will be on the car park site. But it will be a multifunctional room, therefore as needs change, that will be able to be adapted because it's a modular build and partition walls can come up and go down, obviously at a cost, etc. But as I say, needs will always be there. On our induction slides, the very last one is a suspension bridge that goes up and down. And that's just like life. It's very up and down. We don't know where we're going, and we're learning as we go, but the needs will change.
and your business is to be able to respond to whatever the needs become.
Yes.
Do you anticipate that there will ever be a time when a food bank is not required?
I would hope in the next 10 years that, as I say, the food bank would be diminished vastly, and that you could really meet those in desperate need, and actually those that could manage can use a food cooperative supermarket.
Would your new building accommodate a cooperative supermarket?
Yes.
Or would that have to
Yeah, be? It would. It, you know, because we would adapt what we wouldn't need the storage that we've got now for the food bank.
Replace one with the other.
Mm.
How does your governance work?
So we have trustees, and as a charity you have to have a minimum of three. You have to have a treasurer and a secretary and a chairperson, which is why I became chair, because when we set it up there was just three of us, and I said, I don't mind what label I have, but I'm not being treasurer. I knew that wasn't my strength. And Kevin, who was our then secretary, had set up a charity before, so he said he would be secretary, so that's why I landed being chair. But since then we've grown, and we've just recruited a new trustee last week from one of the Croxley churches. And the idea is to broaden the abilities of the trustees so that we all take on different roles. So yes, I might have the overhead, but the secretary does all the secretary work and the chasing of the lease, etc. We have somebody for health and safety. We're now going to have, we've got safeguarding leads and things like this. So as the trust grows, so the development of the trustees grow.
I guess you're a foundation model CIO.
Yes.
So the only members are the trustees.
Yes.
It's an interesting insight also into the way in which organisations find their volunteers. Do you find that people have difficulty as volunteers dealing with what you're dealing with?
It varies. When I do their induction, they have to fill in an application form because they're people I don't know at all. And even if I did know them, when Robin joined us, I still took up his references. I said, I will treat you the same as anybody else. So I just always have two character references for that person. And when we go through the induction, they've already indicated what they think they want to do. And I go through and explain what the roles are, what the hours are. And some people are willing to give it a try in various places. I took on a gentleman last week on Friday, and he's going to start in the food bank, but he's willing to come and cook. So, you know, let him start slowly and then move around and see how he gets on. So, and then every month everybody's asked what can they do, and Karen does the rota for me. So
So generally you will find a round hole for their round peg.
Yes, yeah.
It's a great concept, and actually it's a great application of the concept. Iris, what a great introduction to the beginning, the work and the achievements of the food bank that you started 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. Well done, Iris. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay, thank you.